7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 75. Actually, we are 3/4 of the way to 100.
Oh my God.
Of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of social issues and how they affect us at our gaming tables or in front of our TVs or however we choose to game. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and apparently for 75 episodes, same dude sitting beside me, kind of long distance, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
Sitting beside you from a few thousand miles away. But yeah, this is definitely my longest running entertainment collaborations. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's worked so far, so hopefully we get to keep this train rolling.
Nobody has kicked us out yet.
Yeah. One of the things I do want to tell people, if you would like to support the show, check out patreon.com/colorofmagic, because that really does help us keep the lights on and helps us create some cool things that we now have starting to roll out. Speaking of, either today, I checked earlier before we started streaming, so not now, obviously. But sometime between later today and tomorrow, I should have the tokens in hand. So those who want tokens with wonderful likenesses of myself and Brian, you'll be able to get some from us. So keep an eye on that. I'll have stuff going around on social media once everything is done. But we do have a new patron. Actually, a new patron as of last week that I forgot to give a shout out to. One Dave Lever. So thank you very much for supporting the show.
That's right.
that was yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's coming soon. Playmat orders are in. I just don't know when they'll be here, so I'll just keep everything, keep everybody, as they say, aware of the situation. And simple reminder, don't forget, if you want a secret lair black as magic, hashtag not sponsored, feel free to go over and get one. They've extended the date till the end of the month. It looks like it says March 31st. So if you're worried about getting your stimmy in and want to spend your money on something, there's a thing you spend some money on.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as always, I want to tell everybody about our show sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Just a really good group of dudes over there and a cool place to sell your cards. The other thing I like about it, too, is because I've been so busy, I haven't even added new cards to my collection. But it does actively keep track of all the prices and everything for you. You don't have to do anything. And it's cool because the way Magic's gone lately, I've been watching the price of my collection go up on their site like every day, which is the craziest thing. So, but the cool part is at least keeps it organized. It keeps it there, ready to go. Super good at communicating. Nothing bad to really say about them, honestly. They've been really good supporters. And they support tons of people, good creators in the Magic community that are really good people. So give them a look. Check them out. If you're looking for a place to pick up some cards or sell some cards, check out Cardsphere.com. Now, we're going to get heavy on this episode because we got some things. Yeah, we're going to step right up on the soapbox. Because, man, I got some things. So, for those of you that didn't see it, there was a gentleman, and I don't even have his name handy. I probably should name and shame here.
I too have forgotten his name.
Yeah, there's so many days have passed.
If you look up, you know, just racist sportscaster though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. This was at an Oklahoma high school, by the way. So these aren't even professionals. This dude was doing commentary and decides when he sees the visiting team kneeling, he decides he wants to say something very disparaging about these young ladies. Pretty much, since we're going to keep it clean here, but he basically called the team some effing N-words. And that part, I'm kind of like, okay, I've seen some racist folks from Oklahoma. I've been there. We know there's some stuff down there. You know, man, you're down there.
I've that played part, cards with a few of them.
Yeah, same. Like, that part, not that, sadly, should be bothersome. but it wasn't. I'm like, okay, that stuff happens. Idiotic that the dude's a sportscaster who's hired to do commentary for this game. But the kicker was, instead of just taking the L, the dude comes back and basically says, well, he couldn't help it. His diabetes was acting up.
I about lost my crap, man.
I'm just like, because here's the thing. At least Ambien, I know some people. I've had conversations with people who have called me on Ambien. And I'm like, okay, they don't even remember the conversation the next day. Nobody. And the cool part is, there's actually been organizations coming out and doctors and stuff saying, this is not a side effect of diabetes.
Just in case we needed confirmation that it was
blood. Yeah. Low blood sugar doesn't give you magical Tourette's.
No.
That's not what's going on here.
And generally, you know, when, like, you see somebody having a medical emergency, they become less coherent. His, while it's, you know, intellectually horrible, his diatribe is, he's not stuttering, he's not losing consciousness, he is perfectly coherent spewing his racist bile.
Oh no, I think Brian fell into the void. Sounds like you're talking out of an echoing pit, sadly.
I can still hear you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're clear again.
Okay, lost connection again. I guess it's going to be one of those days.
So yeah, go ahead. What were you saying there?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, there actually was an incident a few years ago where a baseball broadcaster had some sort of a medical emergency. You could tell his speech was not in any way coherent. It pertained to nothing happening on the field in front of him. It was immediately obvious to everybody that heard that he was having some sort of a medical issue. This guy here, there's nothing like that. He's not incoherent. His speech isn't slurred. He is speaking perfectly normally and spewing racist bile.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He is obviously
in possession of all of his, I guess, mental faculties, if not his intellectual ones.
No, he says, I struggled with diabetes since I was 28, and I'm 44 now. When it goes up, that's one of the things my rhetoric changes. It's like, what?
No, dude,
come on. Like, I haven't had, my big mama, you know, would have to take her, had the sugars.
Right.
Like, you know, everybody knows.
I'm going to guess at least one person that suffers from diabetes.
Yeah, like, ain't nobody to this day. Has had anybody say, oh, when my blood sugar goes up, I start talking crazy.
Yeah, I just start, like, dropping in bombs. I can't help it.
That ain't never happened in the history, probably, of the world.
Grandpa spewing racial slurs, somebody get him a peppermint. That's never
Exactly. Exactly. That's not a thing. It's not a thing.
Rather than just own up to it.
Yeah, just say, I'm an idiot.
I'm amazed at how many people still don't understand basic, because it happens to obviously people like his, but Troy Aikman and Joe Buck got caught on live mic. It just blows my mind how many people, number one rule of broadcasting, always assume the microphone is live.
Yep. If I've even walked on to do, like, any type of interview or whatever, I just assume if you have a microphone or a camera, something's happening.
That's the safest way to do it.
Like, period. Even in my own little room studio here, right? I cover things up. I turn things off.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm just hanging out watching YouTube in front of it. Like, because I don't know. I could hit the wrong button or something. Right? Like, just one of those things.
Plus, there's three kids in my house. Just to think, well, one time, I heard I was streaming. I heard my wife say something about, get out of that cardboard box and eat your chicken nuggets. Parents understand. That's the thing of parents saying. I can tell from that point from the audience who had kids and who didn't have kids. Because people without kids are like, what did your wife even just say? Everybody with kids is like, yeah, that's just what happens on Tuesday when you got kids.
Yep, exactly. You don't even question it. Oh, man. Yeah, that was just dumb. Like, that we have to now add diabetes. The Wilford Brimley diabetes.
Great.
To the list of excuses for racism now.
That list gets longer and longer. Include diabetes, Ambien, just, God.
for real, man, diabetes. I just can't. I can't. Like, the sugars are now racist. I don't even know. Well, all right, man. I heard you got something else you want to step up on the box. So I'll get out the way.
I mean, by now, I'm sure everybody has heard about the shootings in Atlanta, and people have tried to parse, like, is this a hate crime? We go through this, you know, every time somebody white shoots a bunch of people who are not white. In this case, apparently, all the victims were Asian. So if it's not a hate crime, you know, I don't know how or what you would consider a hate crime. We're already seeing the narrative, you know, he was just a good Christian guy. He always went to church. Nobody understands what happened here. Apparently, he also liked to go to spas, or was tempted to go to spas, and so badly that he just felt the need to go shoot people. I can't even, but...
But here's the thing, like, if somebody just goes off and shoots some people at one building, I could be like, okay, somebody went postal, right?
Yeah.
But this dude went to multiple businesses right. that were even across town. Like, those were, if that's not targeted,
yeah.
what is? I mean, literally, he shot a couple of Asian ladies, then I guess went 20 minutes away, yeah. went to another spa, shot some other Asian, then went across the street and shot some more.
Yes, if you go to a building that you know is full of Asian people, I don't know how it, as you said, anything other than targeted.
You can't just claim that's coincidental.
No.
Like, you just can't.
It's just, I mean, if you run over somebody in your car, you know, like, oh, well, whoops, you know, I didn't mean to, it's still vehicular homicide. Or some form, you know, they'll argue yeah. about, you know, what about you killed somebody with your car. There's got to be some consequences here. So, yeah, if you just murder several Asian people, I don't know how anyone can say the crime is not racially motivated.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, and oh, not only that, did you see the statement from the cop?
No.
Yeah, the officer was like, well, it's like he had a bad day and he like, bad day? I had a bad day. I ain't gonna drive across town and go kill 8 people.
He used the Joker excuse, right? That all it takes is one bad day to turn anyone into a lunatic. Oh, that where we're going with this?
I'm just saying, like, let me or you have gone and shot some people.
Right.
I guarantee you, we'd have already been locked up.
They're probably part of Antifa. That's what we think. Yep. Black Lives Matter. That's what had done it.
It's just like that other dude. What was it? Dylan Roof or whatever. Yeah. Like the dude that literally got fast food while he was sitting at the police station being questioned.
Ammon Bundy. Ammon Bundy had a court date and, of course, didn't want to wear a mask because, of course, the Bundys would politicize mask wearing.
Yeah, just like...
Just the kind of folks they are.
Like, come on, man. Like...
Constant. I would see, as Bailey, member of the media, there's an incident one day where they gave the most generic description of the suspect, black male, 20 years old, and that could be literally anybody. And it's like, you don't know how bad, and he turns to me and says, that could literally be you, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to my life.
And the hard part for this is the thing, this goes back even to when the whole coronavirus started going around, right? Where we had a president at the time who was trying to call it the China virus and all that mess.
And the Kung Flu and just every yeah. other.
And I know multiple Asian folks that told me they had to be concerned because they didn't know who was going to lash out at them. Like yeah. everywhere they went, yeah. they got an ugly look because they might be infected. Some of them told me they started shopping almost exclusively at the Asian markets. As a matter of fact, I saw somebody post this today, even, that they started shopping exclusively at the Asian markets because they just didn't want to handle the criticism. And even then, they were all worried that somebody's going to come in and do something crazy because obviously it's a big box full of Asians.
Yeah.
And you're not even the right kind of Asian for some of them. Like, that's the other dumb part. It's just this type of stuff is just so insane.
Also, as many people have mentioned on social media, it also speaks to the fetishization of Asian women.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It really does. That's a good point. Yeah.
They talk about just how obviously the sexual fetishization, and then also just the assumption like, oh, well, of course you're good at math. Or of course you're good at magic. It's just genetic for you. Just giving them no credit for any achievement they make because you're supposed to be smart.
Yeah, that's super annoying. It really is. And to me, that comes off like the same way, like, and we've talked about this early on in the show where, you know, no matter how hard you work on something and how much info you put together, being a black person, I can't tell you a number of times that I get done with the thing and somebody goes, oh, you speak so well.
Right.
And I'm like, what did you expect me to sound like?
You step and fetch it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, I was a paid presenter to be at this thing. I spent a week putting information and slides and package and handouts. And like, that's the compliment you give me?
You're a credit to your race, Daquan.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally get how Asians get upset when you just assume they're great at math and science.
In our case, when people assume we're good at basketball, and boy,
yep.
So many coaches were disappointed in my childhood.
But this is the problem, right? It has gone so far that you now have this dude, I don't even know how to refer to him right now, who was so distraught with his, I don't even know what you meant, temptation and urge to want to go to a spa, an Asian spa particularly, that he somehow for some reason felt the only way to deal with it was to go and I guess kill the women that work there.
An investigating officer, well, you know, he had a bad day.
How ridiculous is that?
And when people, I'm hoping that wasn't the PR guy, but I've worked enough crime scenes. No, he. I'm going to check later. I'm praying to God that wasn't the PR officer.
It's just crazy to me because this comes back to those stories we've each told about like being careful about what events we go to or what cities we're traveling in or who we're going to do stuff with or why you don't trust certain people or whatever. Like, this type of stuff helps breed that mentality, which sucks. Like, when you know there's people that are, like, thinking, like, and not only that, like, again, the bad guys do the bad guy thing. But when you see other people sympathizing with the bad guy,
yeah,
over something that's blatant, that's where it gets really concerning.
And then you see these same people, anytime somebody of color commits a crime, oh, well, they were radical, they were a terrorist, you know, it's...
Yeah, because like I tell people, like, I get it. Like, there's people who have mental instability. There's people that are just, hell, basically brainwashed or whatever. Like, fine. But when other people come to their aid and try to defend, like, today's actions, I was like, how do you have any reasonable... There is no reasonable excuse here. You can call it what it is, and then we can have the conversation that maybe we need some better mental health options and whatever, cool. But that's about as far as I can go.
Right.
Like, after that, there's no justification at all. Zero.
I had to look it up. This guy is a captain for the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office. So again, he should absolutely know better than that.
Yeah, he should have just came out facts only and called it a day. But, well... All right, Brian. Let's talk about something else. How did we get educated last week? What did you learn?
This is just, I guess, the dangers of what can happen while you're vlogging. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently somebody was doing a pizza review, and it just so happened while they were recording, somebody stole a car behind them.
No joke.
And it gets better. There are multiple police cars on scene. I guess you can make the joke about how, well, obviously they're outside a pizza restaurant. But yeah, there are multiple police cars on scene when the person speeds off. And when the police were questioning, they said, well, you know, we don't do high-speed chases for car thieves. But he didn't just teleport into the car. The person visibly stole the car on camera and then made off with it while pizza reviews are happening. So you had time, you know?
That's weird. I mean, I'm assuming you just turn over the footage to the police.
Yeah, that's been done. So hopefully, you know, the person gets their car back. But as somebody that's unfortunately had their car stolen, it takes less than an hour for them to get somewhere and have that thing broken down to just gutted.
That is wild, dude. I don't even know, like... Man, see, now I gotta go look up this footage. That's crazy.
Yeah, if you look up, it's like probably like pizza review carjacking or something like that. Because I saw it on a news show, so it's gone completely viral.
That is wild. I don't even know what I would do if I was just like,
right? You
know,
that's doing what I was like thinking about. Like, oh, video. God, the kind of thing could have happened to anybody. Like, we do, you know, restaurant reviews all the time on our channel. So that's the thing that struck me is like, could have happened to us. Could have happened to us.
I'm just thinking, like, what if I'm out at the park and then, like, somebody's just getting carjacked behind me or whatever. Like, what do you, like, that's such a wild scenario. That's funny, man.
I can only assume they either didn't see the camera or just, you know, hey, when you're focused on, you know, your car thievery.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you probably don't know somebody's live streaming because you see so many people taking selfies and whatever. Like, you probably don't even think twice about it, I bet.
I would think if I were a thief, if I even saw any kind of camera, because again, that's footage is obvious video footage.
But you're not ignorant enough to be a car thief, see?
And that's, true.
That's the difference. Okay, so one of the things I learned last week is, and I wish I would have downloaded the song, because everybody knows the song when it starts playing, but the Sarah McLachlan, like, Arms of an Angel...
Yeah.
Like, used to come on late night. Because everybody, okay, first off, here's my gripe. I'd be watching, like, those late night 11, midnight, 1 a.m. Comedy Central stand-up specials.
Yep.
And every damn time, you'd get that sad-ass commercial.
Right.
With, like, the one-eyed cat and the three-legged dog. And the other dog that's all, like, busted up on the side because it got abused or whatever. And just, like, you don't even want to watch the show anymore. You're already, like, upset, sad, watching these, like, pitiful animals. Like,
is the tactic. They want to, you know, tug at your heartstrings and make you uncomfortable.
I always donate money whenever I go to, like, PetSmart or Petco or whatever, and I check out it. You know, they're doing a food drive for whatever, and, like, they get my money anyway. But literally nobody I know has ever donated those commercials, and they're all upset at the sad animals. So I don't even know how they made money at any point. Because I just realized literally everybody I asked in the last 4 days, 3 days, like, none of them spent any money.
But
yet we all know those commercials.
Yeah. I guess it's a 1% thing where, like, if even 1% of the people see that commercial, give them money, they have turned a profit.
Probably. I just know everybody's mad and sad. Like, when you hear that, like, that slow, like, Sarah McLachlan, man, as soon as I start bringing up, everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Because, like, you think they never made any money, and to go from somebody, I guess, that works kind of the same 1% theory. You know those emails we all get about, hello, Christian friend, I am a Nigerian prince.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure, of course, no intelligent person, but intelligent. Oprah had a whole special, and other talk shows have done it since, that showed the people that 1% of the people, probably less than 1%, but there are people that answer those emails. And the ones that do, they've been conned multiple times. They fall every single one of those things.
I will say this for the emails, though, is that it's very low effort, high reward.
True.
Like, you're not having to film commercials and get, like, studios and sign, you know, advertising deals and all that stuff. Like, I don't know how they made money, but I know I hadn't seen the commercial in ages, so I guess they finally quit running them after.
No,
like,
they come on during CNN now. I saw them during Anderson Cooper, so I guess they just switched. They weren't getting enough money during the Chris Rock special, so they switched to Anderson Cooper.
See, that's how they got it. Because see, I hadn't seen one in so long. Like, I just assumed they quit running them. Well, now I know
they're on CNN though.
Now I know. Okay. Well, maybe they are still making money. Heck if I know.
You just got to switch networks, I guess, once you've, you know, hit your quota.
Okay, so this week, by the time people are listening to this, I guess it'll be tomorrow, that Time Spiral Remastered actually goes on sale. And we didn't talk a lot about this, you know, while previews were happening for it or whatever, because it was mostly the excitement over seeing the new cards and old borders, which is really everybody's excited about. But the interesting thing is, this is probably, at least in far as I can tell, talking to people in the industry, distributor people I know, this might end up being the most rare Magic product this year.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of crazy to think about. But basically, it's shorter printed than a lot of the other products. And I think people came late to the party wanting to be interested in it. But now that everything is previewed and people can see the old borders, and now people know how rare the foils of the old border cards are going to be and all that, like, now there's kind of hype and everybody wants it. We also have this weird confluence of things, which I've been trying to explain to people. Like, the pandemic actually caused a lot of odd buying habits. Part of it is that in a lot of cities, obviously, this obviously doesn't go for everywhere, but especially a lot in the major cities, a lot of the geeks or nerds had the jobs that kept operating. You know, they had the tech jobs, the finance jobs, whatever, right?
YouTube. So,
yeah. So they still have money. So they kept spending on their hobbies because you couldn't do anything else. Like, you're not going to the movies, you're not going on trips, you know, whatever. The things you would normally do that eat up your spending cash. Well, they're spending it on their hobbies. Because you got to keep yourself distracted and stay busy and prepare for post-COVID, right? So prices have been ticking up. Like I was talking about at the beginning of the show on Cards Fair. I literally watched my collection value go up, like, be anywhere between on the day, like $15 to what feels like $30 a day or something. And I'm not even adding a card to it. I'm just watching the numbers go up.
And that's just a good feeling, because I'm doing Top Shot, you can see the same thing where your collection goes up. Just
yeah, it's crazy, right? And it's all types of collectibles right now. But Time Spiral Remastered has an even extra layer, because what happened starting last week? Everybody started getting their stimmies.
Yep.
So now you have all these people who now have stimulus money that they're like, well, what else am I going to do with it?
Can't go out.
Yeah, so they're going to go out and try to buy some time. And matter of fact, I've already talked to retailers without Time Spiral Master even releasing yet, because that's on Friday. They've already said they're basically doing like Black Friday numbers this week. Like, people are just going, because, you know, doesn't matter what game you play, everybody's like, well, there's a new Warhammer release, there's a new Pokemon release, there's a new, like, I've been wanting to get this old video game or whatever. Like, they're just going to go pick it up, right? So
Sony released some more PlayStations today. Miraculously, yep. They found some today.
Yep, and I bet you they're going to get sold quick, too.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say about this, though, and this kind of came up a little bit, where there's this perception or belief or some rhetoric, I guess, if you want to call it, that the things Wizards are doing as far as selling product is harming retailers. And there's a couple people said, well, the way Wizards treated this product is harming retailers. Like, they're losing sales or whatever. It's like, to who? There's no product, right? They're going to sell out of their product. They could sell it at a markup if they wanted to and make more money and a higher margin, which me and you may not like it, but that's good for the business to keep the doors open. Like, you might be mad that you can't get a box from them for $200. But you know what? If you don't buy it from them for $200, it's going to be $270 by Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if the stores, and this is me speaking from experience, if a store chooses to sell their product at 10% over cost, well, that's a them problem, right? If it's, you know, it's going to be hard to get, you know, it's going to be rare. You might even want to only sell half of your allocation and sit on the rest. You can sell it single pack to people who can't afford a box, or use some for tournament prizes, or any infinite number of things that you'll be able to do post pandemic. But this is, either way, this is super popular. A lot of people are already talking about buying it and sitting on it to have once they can go back and game regularly with their friends so they can do a cool booster draft. And I think the other thing is there's going to be very little sealed product of this available, because a lot of people are wanting to open it or draft with it or whatever. So it's a weird product, man. It's a weird product at a weird time. People did ask me, like, why do I think Wizards didn't print more? And this part is me just strictly speculating, right? But I do believe there's a lot of factors. I think the first is that it's a unique type of product and Wizards didn't know how popular it was going to be. And I know, even just industry talk, right? When it was announced, everybody was kind of like, I don't know how deep I want to go in this, blah, blah, whatever, right? So people had no idea. And that's kind of, I'm sure, internally at Wizards, the same vibe they had, right? Didn't know how much people were going to take to it, because it is, it's an all reprint set that's not even what we can call a truly curated reprint set like Modern Masters or anything. This just includes a lot of cards from the three sets that made up that block. Now, obviously, the foils bring a different layer. The old borders bring a different layer. So, like, yes, there's other value to be had in there. But you also have to figure out, from Wizards' perspective, all right, you're already being financially conservative so you don't get stuck with a lot of product, right? You want it out. Partly because, one, you have Strixhaven that's 3 weeks after that. So you got to have room in the warehouses to get the new stuff in and out or whatever anyway. You also have the issue of a lot of retailers now, I say a lot of the ones people want to talk about, are complaining they can't get enough. But they also may not have even been financially solvent enough to order enough of that product and still be able to make an order for Strixhaven since they're so close together. And to be fair, there's also the weird issue too, a lot of the times, that if they printed more, it would be less valuable, so people would care less.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird catch-22 kind of situation. Like, if it was everywhere, no one would care, price would be low, you wouldn't hear any hype. Because there's less of it, prices are higher and everybody wants it, right? It's the Pokemon thing right now, yep. Right? Nobody cared, but now that it's hot, people are griping they can't get Pokemon.
Syndrome said it best. When everyone's special, no one will be.
Kind of like that, right? So I think that plays into it as well, just getting stuff in and out. And then, like I said, do retailers maybe not being able to even turn the product fast enough to be able to also get Strixhaven here in a few weeks. And if you have to gamble, you're going to gamble on Strixhaven because that's a normal, you know, one of your four standard releases every year. You know that's guaranteed to sell. Everybody's going to want the cards, not just older players.
It's the cost of playing competitively. You're going to play the FNM. You got to buy it.
And not just that, older players don't generally buy a lot of booster packs, right? And this set is targeted at the older players. A lot of those people buy singles, or they just want to get the flashy version of a card for their commander deck or whatever it is. So there are a lot of reasons this happened. The one thing I will caution people for in the future is there will likely be some other remastered set, probably Alara or something, whenever that comes around. But it will likely get a higher printing. And I think that could lead to a situation where people are going to rush out, put in orders, whatever, because they go, oh, I remember when Time Spiral happened and I didn't get any. But the prices aren't, I don't think, going to hold up the same in the long run. Because there's just going to be more of it. And same thing on Wizards' end, right? They know how popular remastered sets can be, so they'll probably double the printing on the second one or whatever. But who knows? Anyway, I just think it's interesting. The timing is nuts. I imagine those singles are going to sell like crazy, like everything else in Magic right now. It's going to be a wild time on Times Probably Mastered. I think it's going to be, like a lot of things involved in COVID, I think these are going to be good tests and lessons we could take away from if you're willing to follow it and pay attention.
truthfully, because if I ever thought I was, you know, financially sharp enough to run a card shop, every time I listen to you explain this stuff, I realize, yeah, I made a good decision not ever attempting to do that.
Okay, Brian, I'm only touching on this briefly, but this was a really weird story I heard last week. Yeah. Actually, just a couple days ago. But there was a Twitch streamer who got banned and unbanned twice for harassing himself. The weird thing is, we already know Twitch has issues even dealing or handling people who do harass people. And then somehow a dude got punished for harassing himself twice. And the user's name is George Not Found, is his Twitch ID. But he has a second account, I guess, that he uses for like testing things or whatever. That's just named This Is Not George Not Found.
And that's a fairly common thing among streamers, because you don't want to bombard people with, hey, test notifications every 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently, I guess it came up while he was doing something, and I guess Twitch assumed it was somebody making an account mocking him or something, so they banned the secondary account. But then George had a problem, because by their own rules, if you're using another account while you're banned, that's trying to subvert the terms of service.
Yeah.
So he couldn't even get back on his regular account till he heard back from Twitch about why the secondary account had even gotten banned.
And we've talked about how long it takes to hear from Twitch. So did they say in any of the stories how long it took him to get
unbanned? It was a couple of days. So then they eventually get him out of it. Everything's good. And then apparently, I guess it triggered the system again, so he ended up getting banned again. And then that was another long wait. And then they finally got it all back together, and to what I understand, he's functioning again and fine, and they have it figured out. It's not a big deal.
And if he wasn't partnered before, all this publicity probably partnered his channel. So I guess that's, you know.
Yeah, I think George Not Found is. I've seen him pop up on a couple other people's like YouTube stuff or whatever. So there's a chance he's at least well known enough that I'm sure he draws well. But I just thought that was a really funny story, especially coming from Twitch. All right, now, did you hear this story about the woman who, I guess, decided she was going to get belligerent in a YouTube or in a Uber and started just coughing right on the driver's face?
Yeah.
That was great. And this was right down, I believe, in like San Francisco or something. They finally decided what they're going to do with her. She likely looks like she's getting jail time and up to a $10,000 fine, possibly a year plus in jail.
As she should, because COVID is a deadly weapon.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? During a pandemic, like, imagine how... Also, randomly, one of the charges was for some type of robbery or theft, I think is one of the three charges they're giving her. So probably, something else must have happened in the middle
of all. Theft of service, because she probably tried to skip without paying the...
Maybe.
...fee or whatever.
But I'm just thinking, how effed up do you have to be or mad at your Uber driver, which... was a person of color, it looks like, from the pictures.
Well, of course surprise. They were.
But who, like, what would even have to be happening to where you're like, you know what, F you. Like, you know, like what, who?
You're a terrible person. You have so much darkness in your soul.
You just have to be in a weird place, headspace, to even think to do that.
She went Uber carried.
Yeah. Like, not like, that's not even like, I'm not even just mad at you. I'm going to threaten to get you sick to the point you die. Like, that's crazy. For real.
Like, so yeah, this is fair punishment, because if you point a gun at somebody, the victim has to assume it's loaded. If you point a cough at somebody right now, I have to assume you have COVID.
And here's the crazy thing, right? And this is sort of the reason I thought this was worth including is, you know, this sort of comes back to our previous conversations about how we're going to treat things once we get back to post-COVID, right? Post-pandemic. What are the rules going to be for spaces or events, or like, at what point do we say, hey, this much of the percentage has been vaccinated, this is less of a thing that even gets treated like this, or is it always treated like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's so many things that we still gonna have to
figure out. I think from now on, coughing on somebody is jail time, or pretending to cough on somebody, or however you're doing it. In the same way, you know, spitting on somebody should be, because again, you could transfer any number of things.
So yeah, I don't know. It just opens up. I mean, this particular situation is just blatant, right? Like, punishment, fine. Like, I have no issue with that. It's just going to be interesting to see how we treat stuff in the future, because I think we're going to have to, I don't know, I guess just relearn or reset a lot of our standards and expectations on how we can deal with event spaces more than anything
else. Would you ever feel comfortable going to a buffet again?
Oh, that's a good question. I was thinking about this the other day, actually, because one of the buffets we like going to here actually changed to being a dim sum and some other type of thing that they do now. Not that I've been since COVID or whatever, but I've seen the signs change, so I know they're doing something else. Would I go back? Man, I don't... Maybe? I don't know. That's a good question. It was
pre-COVID, but the last time I went to a buffet, me and Tish both got sick, so we haven't been to one since.
Well, see, I haven't had that here. Like, we were pretty good. We went to one probably... I would say middle of the year before COVID, probably. So 5 or 6 months. And that was fine. I would consider it. Maybe. I don't know. Like, that's a good question. I'd have to.
Would you go bowling and rent shoes?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think I'm past the shoe rental being a concern. I'd be more concerned about the bowling balls than the shoes.
Yeah. So I'm going to include the bowling balls, because these are just things you didn't think about before, but now it's like, oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, if I knew they, and I'm assuming the bowling alleys have picked up their COVID protocols and cleanliness or whatever. So like, I'm assuming. Yeah. I haven't been, so I don't know. Right. But if I knew that, then I might feel okay. But like I said, the ball is more bothering to me than the shoes, because shoes, you know, they just go on people's feet. They're wearing socks. They always spray them out and everything, whatever. Like, I'm not.
Does anybody really check to make sure they're wearing socks? Is that enforced strictly?
I don't know.
I bet it's not. Like,
but I'm not putting the shoes in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm bowling, I'm still touching bowling balls and stuff, and then possibly grabbing a drink or eating or something. And like, that would be a bigger issue to me than the shoes would be, I think. But I don't know. Again, like, the next time somebody asked me to go bowling, I'd have to think about it. You know, I don't know. Like,
and I've also heard stories about hotels and how they clean or don't clean things. So
yeah,
those make me nervous too.
The hotels have always had those type of stories though. So I'm just like, if I was okay with it before, I'm okay with it now, I guess. But yeah, interesting thing though. I think it really does. In some ways, kind of set up some conversations for the future. Now, we touched on it a little bit earlier about prices increasing, but I don't think people are really aware of how much money is in a lot of different markets right now. You know, I can tell people from house hunting and searching or whatever, like, markets are high right now, you know? And part of it is, again, people not having to have spent any money going anywhere. Like, I talked to some people up here who weren't gonna move, and then they were like, well, you know, we ended up saving an extra $10,000 last year or whatever, because the kids weren't in sports and we weren't doing this thing and we weren't traveling and we weren't buying these extra snacks, we didn't go to the movies.
No,
right? So
not making any trips to visit relatives and holidays and stuff,
so they have even bigger budgets to go house hunting. So a lot of houses are selling an extra, like, 3, 4, 5, 10% higher than normal, some 30% higher than normal, because people have bigger down payments. You know, they can get financed for more. Some people paid off their debts, so their credits are better now, because again, they weren't having to spend money on other things, right? Less wear and tear on the car, less oil changes, like, a bunch of stuff happened over the last year. But that, again, has translated to our hobbies, which is a big thing. So I don't know if you've seen, but Logan Paul, which I'm sure we all know about Logan Paul at this point, if you've been on the internet, but he opened a Pokemon box that in total was $1 million worth of singles. Like, how absurd is that? Like, that's the world we're in right now. Now, granted, you're talking about original first edition booster box, blah, blah, whatever, right?
All the cards graded. How much did the box cost just before you opened? How much would that?
Oh, he paid a few hundred grand.
Yeah.
But, like, this it's a crazy situation, right? Like, there's Magic cards literally that just last week, some of them have gone up $200, $300, $400.
There's, I forget which set it is, and Michael Jordan is in. I want to say it's 86.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people are paying $200,000 a box for 1986 boxes of Fleer trading cards.
Yeah.
Hoping to pull the Michael Jordan. And literally, if you don't pull the Michael Jordan, you're going to lose your shirt.
And it becomes almost a self-fulfilling cycle where, well, some people are now spending their money to try to get these rare collectibles. Like, oh, well, now people are buying them. The inventory is going lower. So then the price goes even higher. So then some people want to buy stuff to try to get ahead of it. So now the price is going higher, right? Like, so
I've been looking at Garbage Pail Kids because some of those are insane now in terms of the prices.
And in some ways, it's kind of like the housing market where you also get in these weird spots where some people are like, well, now I don't know if I really want to sell. I can wait because the price is going to go up more. So I don't want to sell now. I want to sell later once we hit the peak. I don't want to give up like $20,000 on my house. But by them not selling, then prices keep going up. So there's never going to be a good point to sell where you're going to hit the top until everything collapses. If it collapses, I don't know. But it's kind of what we're seeing now, right? Where, like I said, I have stuff sitting in Cardsphere right now that I've just not been in a hurry to sell. Because I'm like, well, if they're going to keep going up, I guess I'll get around to it when I get around to it. You know, I'm not prioritizing them because there's no reason, right? The prices keep going up. So just like, eh? But somebody somewhere, obviously, because the prices keep moving, want those cards, and I'm just sitting on them. So it's kind of a weird situation we're in right now. Like, even what you're saying, like with Top Shot, right? If you'd have gotten a Top Shot like 3 months ago, there's some stuff that was like half the price.
Moments were going for $1 that are now, you know, even moments for guys you'd never heard of for $10.
Yeah. By the way,
there are people who became millionaires in the past 2 months.
For Brian, for people who don't know about Top Shot, why don't you give them a quick like understanding? Which, by the way, you also have a video I saw.
I do.
People can go check that out.
Yeah. But I got into it. Basically, it's these are digital collectibles on the blockchain. It's essentially a YouTube clip that you can see anywhere, but they've turned them into digital collectibles. And you get, let's say it's number one out of 10,000. And right now the market is, like we're talking, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, they've had pro players that are opening Top Shots and stuff and talking about different. They had Mark Cuban on one last week that I saw. And he's talking about how he collects them.
Rappers, all kinds of celebrities are getting in now. Players are exchanging moments after games. You even hear broadcasters like Shaq and Charles on top of, that's gonna be a Top Shot right there. You know, that's a moment.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? It's a weird time to be a geek, man.
And as you said, if you had gotten in even January, there's been, I think it's been something like $200 million in transactions since January.
Oh, the worst part about it is I think I had an opportunity because people told me about it. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. And I'm like, man.
I've had an account since October. I didn't put any money into it until I saw it just pop up everywhere. So, yeah, I could have had way more than what I have.
Shoot, you could have paid off your house.
Right?
For real. That's not even an exaggeration.
There's a guy that he was in the Wall Street Journal. He started buying RJ Barrett moments when you get them for $1. Because RJ Barrett is a rookie, and plus people were like you and me, like, what is a Top Shot? I have no idea. So those $1 Top Shots are now worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
See, his portfolio is worth, depending on you the day, about between 15 to 20 million.
It's so insane, man. So insane. Like, It's a wild time, right? But basically, this is just saying that, like, hey, everything, at least in the collectible space, as far as trading cards or whatever, doesn't matter if it seems to be digital or physical, seems to be having this resurgence. And the thing is, I don't even think we're anywhere near the top right now.
No.
That's the crazy part.
Because wait till people go out and play with these Magic cards again.
That's exactly
wait till we start having right? events.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been telling people. Like, think about the fact that there are full formats that are getting minimal play right now. Like, once we can start going and having Grand Prix and Star City Opens and all this stuff all over again, then people are going to need those cards.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, and again, we're in this weird space, right? Because people haven't been at conventions and at Grand Prix or whatever selling to vendors. Like, do the prices come down because more of those are available now? Or do they just start moving more because there's just more to be had? Or do people have people been sitting on money until they can get to a Grand Prix or a local? Because there's a lot of people who still don't have local stores nearby. And they don't want to buy online because they want to see the condition of everything. And, you know, I've met those people.
It's understandable.
So those people tend to also be the ones that spend the most money, right? They'll pay the most to have the most perfect version of the card. So those people are probably going to spend happily and not care. So I don't even know, man. It's a weird time. I mean, this is when they talk about unprecedented, like, man, yeah. The pandemic's brought a lot of unprecedented things into a lot of markets. That's for
sure. I'm waiting to see the plandemic style YouTube video or services. It's all a conspiracy to make you buy baseball cards.
All right, and then this is something I want to touch on just from a content standpoint that, and I guess we talked about this a little bit where, you know, I'm not one to really want to give people absolutes. I also don't want to tell people what to do with their time or money. You know, unless it's a thing I 100% believe in, this is probably the right way to do something. But to that end, I started thinking about content the last couple of weeks, and I've been asking people on streams, like, what would you like to see? Like, what would help you? You know, because obviously I do the gameplay videos, but I also do reviews and box openings and whatever. But a lot of people wanted some strategy articles or videos. And some of it is just basics, right? But, and I think like all things, the basics are always out there, but people either don't know where to find them or they just want to hear it from whoever they're currently following, right? That's just a thing. So I started thinking about how can I make content that is both a wide enough topic so the maximum number of people are at least interested to click on it, but still specific enough that anybody who needs the information can take something away from it. And that's kind of been a personal project I've been dabbling with and taking notes kind of as stuff pops in my head over the last couple of weeks. So this week, I decided to release a video that was the 5 most common mistakes people make when deck building. Mostly because I was able to say, okay, everybody wants to build decks better. Some people just want some general advice to help them out. Maybe they'll learn something, whatever. And I'm thinking I'm going to get blown up over this, right? Because people are going to like, well, that's not something I didn't already know or blah, blah, you know, that type of stuff. But turns out not even Reddit hated it. Which I felt like I just won the lottery.
That should be like a t-shirt. Not even Reddit hated it.
For real. I mean, like, I think I got like 300 upvotes or something. I'm like, okay, maybe we finally figured out a thing. And here's the thing. I you know, for me, I feel a little bit fortunate compared to some other content creators. Because from the beginning, I left myself space, right? I told people, hey, I'm doing these conversations on mental health in the gaming industry, right? I'm doing some of these like product reviews and box openings or whatever. So I gave myself that little bit of room to maneuver and find things or talk about different things. Whereas a lot of other people said, okay, I know this is what works. I'm just going to do this one thing. And I think that along with not being afraid to do A/B testing, because like I knew there was a good chance like this could just bomb and just be terrible. And it would have sucked for my metrics or whatever, but that's fine. I was willing to do it. But turns out it's really good. And I think a lot of creators, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying get way outside your core competency, because I think that's dangerous for your brand. But if there's something within your space, like say you, like, you know, let's say you are one of the people that only puts up deck play videos. It could benefit you to say, like, hey, why don't you do a video about how you go about building an aggro deck? Or how do you deal with the metagame at the beginning of a season? Or whatever, right? Something like that, I think, has very big appeal. But we have very few people in any of the card game spaces, I would say, really doing that type of stuff. Because I've looked around, you know, people that are playing Hearthstone, playing Runeterra, playing Magic. And there's very little of that content. There's a lot of people playing the game. I see a lot of those videos. Like, even in Magic, we have probably 30 or 40 good content creators put up videos almost every day of playing the game. But there's not a lot of the other content. And I don't know if that's just because people figured out what works and they want to do what's safe. Or maybe they haven't seen it proven otherwise. But I can say this week, I've now tested two videos and they both performed well. And don't get me wrong, they're not gangbusters by any means, but they're going to perform equal to or better than all of my gameplay videos that I put up. And by all of them, yes, there's outliers that are going to be higher or lower, but I'm saying the average ones I put up. So maybe this is a thing we need to start concentrating on, that give people just more variety in your content. People are actually here for it. And I'm not saying I just magically found the key to whatever, but there's definitely more room than we're exploring right now. And I feel that way in a lot of different game content. I mean, even when I watch people like with Minecraft, I've watched people have Minecraft channels just like, I'm just building this thing and talking and building a city or doing whatever. But it's like, why not teach people something while you're doing it? Because I think one of the biggest things is providing an extra bit of value to your content. I mean, I can tell you, I think in just this week alone, I think I got another 100 subscribers. Not even in this week, in the last 3 days. Just because of the content I've been putting up. Yeah, because I crossed 10,009 on Monday. I'm at 11,008 right now. So it wasn't even a full 72 hours. So people are responding. Like, it's crazy. It's a thing. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to keep experimenting with this. So I'm probably going to keep people updated on kind of this exploration of what's happening or whatever. But I'm really surprised. And it's gotten me, because like, as I've been trying to help people and teach people about different things, and, you know, I think I've told you before, I'm even thought about doing some cheap consulting for people because I have so many people reaching out. Like, I think this is one of those things that I could probably help people with that gives them an edge over other content creators. So I don't know. But I've even been watching your channel though, Brian. Like, people are starting, you're getting more followers, you're getting more views. Like, people are looking for other content.
Yeah. Like, I hadn't done Top Shot content before. I didn't know what it would do. And yeah, it's right there with a lot of my other content. So
yeah, I don't know. It's opens a lot of space. Opens a lot of space. It really got me thinking, though. And this isn't like big news or anything, but it's just like, I don't know, maybe just as listeners, you know, reflect on what type of content would you like to see that's not being done right now? And is it out there? You know, if not, hey, y'all know me, drop me a line. Like, I will gladly do some new content or at least take a chance trying it. That's for sure. But let's set the table, Brian. And actually, this is very appropriate that we're at the dinner table for this one. Because with all the crazy news in the week, I started thinking about how many friends I had growing up that had the rule of no politics. Some had no politics at the table or at family gatherings. Some had no politics in the house at all. But the only people I knew who had that rule, the more I thought about it when I was growing up, were just my white friends.
Never occurred to me, but now I think about it, yeah.
And then I was like, well, as I got older, I get it, right? Like, as a person of color, like, you can't dodge politics, right? You have to know certain things or know when things might be changing or issues that your parents or grandparents have dealt with or whatever, because that's survival mode, right? You don't really get a choice. But then I also realized it only stood out to me because I think I've told her before, like, I had friends of all different nationalities. So when somebody didn't talk about it, or their parents, outside of like who was president, you know, they couldn't answer anything because they didn't talk about any of that stuff. And then it was kind of interesting to me. So then I started asking, and I posted on our social media, on our Twitter feed, to just get info. And then I also posted, I had some stuff on Facebook and some personal groups that I'm in. And it seems like, and I don't know, tell me if your experience is the same, Brian, but it seemed like in the responses from when I was making tick marks and stuff here, the majority of people outside of the U.S. did discuss politics for the most part. It almost didn't matter, like, nationalities or whatever. But in the U.S., it seemed like most people of color, except for a very small percentage, discussed politics. There were a large percentage of the white respondents that didn't discuss politics. It wasn't as large a percentage I thought that actually had the rule not to do it. But there was a very large percentage that said, well, didn't have a rule, but we just didn't talk about it. And that was really interesting to me, that even without a rule in place to say, well, we don't talk about politics, we don't do this, whatever, like, it was just never a concern to where they even had those conversations. And I don't know about you, like, did you discuss those things with your family or with friends or whatever coming up?
Oh, absolutely. Family and the church, you know, because like you said, it was something we almost had to talk about, because it would come up like, hey, you know, did you hear about what happened to so-and-so? They're getting railroaded, you know, by the city or by the police. The local topic of conversation. It was not uncommon, you know, to, hey, so-and-so's son got shot, and we had to talk about what led up to that.
Oh, that's a good point. You mentioned the church. I do remember having some of those conversations with church members growing up.
Our pastor, for example, would, you know, he would, the church would get groceries for members of the church, you know, that were having a hard time. And he would go, the pastor would be the one that would get the box of groceries or whatever and take it to somebody, because, you know, obviously you don't want necessarily everybody going over to their house so they feel bad. So it was the pastor's job to take whoever the groceries.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, you're discussing poverty, whether you want to be discussing it or not. And that's politics. Oh, yeah,
for sure. For sure. And I think that's kind of the tough part, right? Because some people even said, like, well, they just didn't, because unless it was conservative, they didn't really have those talks or whatever. But I think when people say, like, you know, get your politics out of my whatever, it's weird, because I still remember the early times I remembered hearing that. It was like, well, no, that's not, like, what do you mean, right? Because I heard that, and my first thought was, well, yeah, but we're not talking about, like, public offices and presidents or whatever. You know, we're talking about a racist thing that happened. You know, we're talking about somebody not being able to get a job. We're talking about, you know, like you said, like, poverty or whatever. But to some people, that's all under just politics.
Yeah, and if they don't have to worry about it, they don't. So as somebody brought up a good point, you know, in pertaining to Twitch, how many streamers say, hey, no politics in my chat, yet the moment AOC started a Twitch account, everybody wanted to stream with her.
Yeah.
But for her. Wait, no, what happened to the no politics, you know?
Yeah, like, and I tell people, like, I am fine discussing, like, if people want to bring stuff up politically, I tell people I will talk about it. To a point. There's a point where we get way off topic and it's not really beneficial to the stream or whatever. But, like, if the conversation's going good or it's educational or I'm learning something from the viewers, like, totally. Let's have that conversation. If people can learn from it and be educated, I have no problem with it. I think once it becomes just testy or people are arguing for no reason and it's like people are just getting to the point they're not even listening, then I'm like, okay, this isn't the spot for that. You know, but it's hard to tell people.
One of my first experiences in journalism, it's the rookie reporter job. You do, you know, the man on the street interview, where you go to the local mall and ask, hey, what do you think about such and such thing?
Yeah.
And so many times, you know, we would start with something that was, you know, some hardcore. What do you think about this during the Clinton administration? What is Clinton has proposed such and such policy? So often people would have, I would have talked to 20 people. Nobody had any idea what I was talking about. So I would have to just take it down to, hey, you know, are you going to watch the series finale of 90210?
Or something basic, right? Like, are you gonna watch the State of the Union or something?
Yeah, right? Sometimes it couldn't even be State of the Union because I couldn't find enough people that knew that was happening. Literally, one week it went from something political to, hey, if you caught Sammy Sosa's, you know, 60th home run, would you throw it back? Because that was the only news topic I could find that enough people had heard about. Because I had to have a minimum of like 5 responses. So we had to do that so many times.
And that's a tough thing, right? Especially here in the U.S., because we have a lot of people who, again, I think it's the fear of like, well, I can't be wrong, right? So they want to make an opinion about a thing. Let's say even about military stuff that's going on in the news, they won't even be able to identify the place they're talking about on a map.
Right.
They won't even be able to tell you the type of people who live there.
Well, this week, where Marjorie Taylor Greene said we shouldn't be sending our money to foreign countries like Guam and had to be informed. No, that's the U.S. territory there.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Trump didn't know that we have relations with Puerto Rico, apparently. So, yeah, doesn't surprise me. She didn't know either. The worst part is these people got voted into office not knowing squat about the country. But
Tommy Tuberville couldn't identify the 3 branches of government.
Well, that's true, but he should go back to coaching sports.
No, not really.
Well, yeah, maybe
not. He's not good at that anymore either.
That's true. But I do remember, because again, I have some family from different countries and stuff, and they seem to always be aware of things going on in the U.S. Like even now when I get introduced to people, they can not only identify like states within the U.S., they can identify like cities and where they are. I know there's still Americans that don't know that Africa is a continent, not a country. Right?
True. Like, true.
That's a thing still. So I'm just like, it's so amazing how drastically different it is when you see the responses from people from around the world. And you start putting it together and going like, yeah, this makes sense, right? If we have a bunch of people who never discuss this, I think one, we end up being less aware of the world around us. But worse, I think we've lost, at least in the U.S. for sure, the ability to even have those conversations or how to communicate those conversations. Because, man, I still remember the first time I watched, what is it? I think it's like the British Parliament or whatever. Where they were like going off and yelling at each other and dropping F-bombs. And I'm like, yo, these people get down with politics over there.
C-SPAN's ratings would be way higher.
I'm like, we get idiots reading Dr. Seuss. Like, I don't understand. These aren't anywhere near the same level. Now, granted, I'm not saying their politics are significantly better than ours right now. But it's just showing like just the level that people engage with it and the discourse.
And since we're talking politics, I did do the research. Well, he's everywhere now. Captain Jay Baker from the shooting is confirmed. He is the director of communications and community relations for the Cherokee Sheriff's Department.
Oh man, he chose bad choice of words.
It gets even better. Apparently, he posted that racist T-shirt where, hey, COVID-19 imported directly from China.
Oh, his ass should just be fired.
Like, one would think so.
Here's the thing. Like, if you are, let's just say, a beat cop or whatever, I can at least reprimand you.
Yeah.
If you are the PR person,
it's your job to make the department to look good.
Yeah, like
that's what you do for in theory.
At the very least, you should be getting a demotion and we're replacing you.
Yeah. Like, I can do that job anymore after this week's events.
That's literally your job, to just be good at public relations. And you wanted to wear an imported COVID shirt?
That's the job where, okay, yeah, you have the right to not talk about politics because it's your job not to offend anyone.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
If somebody has a job like that, I understand why they don't discuss, or, you know, PR for any company. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's literally your job to just be neutral. Like, just put out the facts, put out fires. That's it. That's your job. Man, I don't know. It was a crazy week this week, man. I hope people appreciate these conversations because I feel like we were just all over the place. But, man, there was so much.
Well, yeah, it just because so much going on.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, Brian?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And you can find me just about everywhere at Power Dragon, PowerDragn. During the day, mostly Facebook gaming, doing some streams over there, but you can find me on Twitch and Twitter just about all the time. But as always, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And for a little longer, while everybody's getting those vaccines, please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans that are so icky with the COVID. And most importantly, please remember to be awesome to each other.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.